So we'll be reading from John chapter 3, starting from verse 1 through to verse 21. John chapter 3, 1 through to 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God."
This here is a passage about how much we really need the Holy Spirit. But if I went and said something like that on TV or radio, a lot of people would think I'm a little bit weird, because not many people out there in the world have had an experience of the Holy Spirit. And so people think of this a bit like ghosts. You know, some people believe in them, some people don't. You've got your experiences, I've got mine. And if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, then perhaps you might not know what to make of this talk. In some ways, for you, it may be an introduction to the Holy Spirit. But it's more than that. It's about how much you need the Holy Spirit. And if you've experienced the Holy Spirit, then you get it. You understand this. You know that you need the Holy Spirit. You know what he does. You know what he does for you. And if that's you, then today is about how much that your entire hope is utterly contingent on the Holy Spirit, and how precious it is that the Holy Spirit would come to you and it will leave you with thanksgiving. But wherever you're coming from, this passage says, without the Spirit we can't see. Without the Spirit we can't enter. Without the Spirit, we can't live. At least not in the sense of the Gospel of John and the way that it puts it there about life to the full, eternal life. So let's open up this passage and see what Jesus says about our need for the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 3, it's the story of a religious leader. His name's Nicodemus. And as you would have noticed in verse 1, he is a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, which is probably talking about the Sanhedrin, which is Israel's highest national body, and its headquarters is in Jerusalem. And Jesus has just been in Jerusalem, And he's just created a stir, hasn't he? Because we heard last week that he turned the tables over at the Temple Mount, that he got the whip and he chased out the cattle and all the coins scattered everywhere on the floor. This leader, Nicodemus, has just come from that Jerusalem to speak with Jesus, and he seems pretty polite compared to the other Jewish leaders we meet in the Gospel of John. He seems quite kind. But he comes at night. He comes in the darkness, which is actually a subtle allusion to what we've already heard about in the Gospel of John, about these themes of light and darkness. So at the very beginning of John's Gospel, we've already heard that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then later in our passage, in John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Now, it is really hard to pick from someone's words what's actually going on in their heart. But in this instance, Jesus is seeing through the words to the state of the heart. He has a capacity to see what's going on inside a person at the very end of last week's passage. So you see there at the end of chapter 2, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So what's going on here is that Nicodemus is coming with kind words, but he himself is only some sort of half-believer. Jesus knows what's going on in his heart, and he's able to address not just the words, but the person. Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi. How does Jesus reply? Verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And I want to put the emphasis there firstly on the word see. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Because the first point today is we need the Spirit to see. Now, I take it here that it's not just about physical access to see a place, to see the kingdom of God. But there's also something subtle going on here about the spiritual ability to see the depth of things, to see Jesus for who he is, to see Jesus as the Messiah, the King, even now as Jesus brings the kingdom as the Messiah. And Nicodemus calls him Rabbi. But Jesus is more than a rabbi. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And if you only see him as rabbi, then you're not accepting of his testimony. It's a half faith. It's a faith in signs and miracles, but it's not a faith in the things that the signs point to. And so here is a wake-up call for Nicodemus. Jesus is saying to him, it's not good enough to be a member of a religious body. You can be in the highest ruling body of a religion, but you yourself being one who doesn't yet see the depth and truth of what's actually going on. You yourself will not even be able to see the kingdom of God unless you are changed by the Holy Spirit, unless you are born again. So tragically, the Jewish leaders were unable to look at themselves in the mirror. You see, as this passage goes, Nicodemus becomes less and less as his sentences become shorter and shorter, and then Jesus addresses you, plural, speaking to all of the religious leaders, and he is opening up these lessons about how they're unable to look at themselves in the mirror and deal with the harsh reality of the truth of how helpless they really are. They have too much self-confidence, too much self-reliance, too much expectation that they are what God needs, that they are on the right side of God. They'd radically underestimated their helpless state and their need for the grace of God. And if you feel helpless, That's actually a really good thing. If you feel helpless, then you are prepared for the grace of God. The person who can be humbled to admit their helpless state is the only person who's going to understand Jesus properly as the Messiah Savior who came to bring us out of our helpless state. We need to humble ourselves. And I'd say that that's easier now than it's ever been. Right now, in the midst of this pandemic, we are truly humbled. It's way over our head. We feel overwhelmed. This is an image here of how a lot of us are feeling right now, as a tidal wave of things that are beyond our control just overtake our puny little minds, and we think, how can we handle the diversity of problems, not just going on because of COVID, but going on around the world as consequences outflowing of COVID and all of the social pressures and impacts going on? Do you feel helpless? It's understandable that we feel helpless. It's appropriate. And to double underline it, until you can accept your helplessness, you can't accept his help. Until you can accept your helplessness, you can't accept his help. He is more than a rabbi. He is the Messiah come to save you. The Pharisees are way too relaxed. They didn't understand themselves. They didn't see the danger. They couldn't see how helpless they truly were. And so they walked in the dark. Verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So the question for you, do you walk in the light? Do you allow the light to penetrate your heart and expose your need? Or would you prefer to walk at night because it hurts too much to have your vulnerabilities made known, to have someone expose your heart? What if he sees you anyway? What if he sees right through your words and he sees the exact state of your heart? As he saw through Nicodemus, and he said, truly, Nicodemus, you are so critically dead that you need to be born again. You can't get more helpless than needing rebirth. So let's not come self-reliant. Come and see your need and come to the one who can help. Nicodemus can't see, so he asks a follow-up question. How can someone be born again, he asks, and Jesus answers in verse 5. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. No one can enter unless they are born of water and of Spirit. Which brings us to the second point. We need the Holy Spirit to enter. Nicodemus should know all this. It's easy to be sympathetic to Nicodemus and say, I would have done the same. Because it's true, right? In our helplessness, likely we'd make very similar mistakes. But Nicodemus should have known this, as Jesus points out in verse 7. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Why shouldn't Nicodemus be surprised? What's he meant to know? What should he already have understood? I mean, who else has ever spoken about being born again and these issues and matters of the Holy Spirit and water? This is all pretty new and unique, isn't it? Well, if we were to stop for a minute and pause on this, and I asked you, water, new birth, the Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? Well, if your answer is baptism, that's because we've got 2,000 years of Christian tradition and history of baptism with water. But keep in mind that for this Jewish person who heard about water, spirit, rebirth, and wind, would have immediately thought of Ezekiel. So let's come back there to Ezekiel chapter 36, where God explains that the Jewish people had gone astray and had ended up in all these other nations, and they were spiritually dead and in a helpless situation, scattered and in sin. And Ezekiel 36 says, this is God prophesying about the future, says, I will gather you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart. And I will put my spirit in you and move decrees. Microphone cutting in and out. If it is, I'll go to a handheld. I'll keep pressing on in hopes that it still works. Then you will live in the land I give your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. See, that last sentence is a picture of entry into the kingdom of God. You'll be my people, I'll be your God. We will live together in the land. How do you enter the kingdom of God? By water, by spirit. And then in the next chapter of Ezekiel 37, come breath from the four winds, and breathe into the slain that they may live. And the wind blows, and these dead, dry bones rattle and rise to new life. So the Jewish leaders should know all this. In fact, they know this story. They should know that they are dead and scattered because of their sins. They really need the Holy Spirit. And it's the same message for each of us. We all alike are stuck in helplessness, and we can't enter the kingdom of God without being born again. We really need the Holy Spirit. We need His breath to breathe on us, to come and fill us, and to lift us up that we might enter into the kingdom. How can this be? Nicodemus asks in verse 9. And Jesus replies, you're Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know. Hey, just a quick side point for growth groups this week. It'd be great to have a chat about why it's we speak of what we know. Who is we? But anyway, I'll keep going. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? So the real issue for Nicodemus and these religious leaders is that they can't accept Jesus. They can see his signs, that he's performing signs, and Nicodemus can say, I see that there's something going on with the signs, but they can't accept what the signs signify. And you can probably remember from what we've said already in this series that there's a statement at the end of John's Gospel about what these signs signify. Can you remember it? That these signs are written that we might believe what? Believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may what? Have life in His name. And I want to pick up on that phrase, life, as we enter the third point. Point three, we need the Holy Spirit to live. Live by God breathing into you. Live by becoming born again. Live in the fullest sense of John 3:16, that you shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because Jesus gives you life by the Holy Spirit. Later in John's Gospel, there's a Samaritan woman at a well, and Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you living water. Living water, by which he was referring to the Holy Spirit and to the life that comes by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, in chapter 7, verse 37, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. He has the Spirit without measure. And if you come to Him and ask, He will give you. He will give you life by this living water. We just need to come in faith that He is more than a rabbi and that we are less than saints. And come to the One who gives without measure, because Jesus is generous and he gives his Holy Spirit to those who will come in faith. But can you trust Jesus? Can you trust a man from 2,000 years ago who claims that he came from heaven? Because it's not easy to trust people. There's a lot of things in our world that are hard to trust. And then there's people around us that have lost our trust. It's easier to lose trust than it is to gain trust. And if you've been on the receiving end of a bad relationship, you might have a very hard time trusting any man. How can you put your trust in this man, this Jesus? Well, only if he truly knows light from dark. And only if he truly knows love from hate. And that's what we're finding in John's Gospel. As we look at Jesus week in, week out, we see one who sees the state of the heart, the darkness of the heart, and he calls it out. He knows light from dark. And we also see he is one who comes with generosity, sacrifice, and love. That great verse, as we've heard from the space, what are they called? Spaceman and spacewoman? Whatever they're called. John 3:16. Apologies for my bad memory. John 3:16. This is love, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is love. Is there room in your life for this love? Is there room in your soul for this heavenly teaching? Is there room for you to be spiritual? Because it's a big call to trust Jesus with your life. It's a huge call in a world that thinks this stuff is crazy. And one of the reasons it's even harder is because we fear the light. It's a pretty humbling experience to be able to look at yourself in the mirror at a time when you're feeling already blah and you're already feeling down and alone because of the pandemic, and to stop and acknowledge that you yourself are helpless and in need with darkness in your own heart. It's hard to admit it. We don't tell people the dark things that are going on in our life because we fear that they might abuse the information. We struggle to be authentic with each other because we're worried about being hurt. But what if the one who knows us is the one who loves us? What if the one person who actually sees as we are, who sees the state of our heart, who knows exactly what's going on for us, is the same one who gives himself in love for us, who comes from heaven to earth. God so loved the world, this fallen world, this world of fighting and fear. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Jesus knows you, and he loves you from heaven to the cross and back again. Such is the love of the one who sees you and knows you. And it feels pure to come into his light. It doesn't need to be frightening because he knows us and he loves us anyway. Can you accept it? Are you prepared to be spiritual, to live by the Holy Spirit? It is good. People often ask me what it feels like to have the Holy Spirit. How does it feel like to have the Holy Spirit? And although there's some really cool stories we hear out there, for the majority of us as Christians, what's fascinating about this is that it's actually not a kinesthetic experience, that the Spirit isn't visible and physical to us. You don't feel him. You actually feel his work. This is the nature of the Spirit. He is the cause to my effect. I don't physically feel him in my heart, but I feel the love of Christ flowing through my heart. I don't physically feel the Holy Spirit entering into my brain, but I feel my conscience being cleansed by his work. I don't literally see the future. But even in the midst of the pandemic, I have hope. of eternal life by the Holy Spirit's conviction in me. And I've never looked God in the face. But by the Holy Spirit, He draws me into the presence of God so that I might pray and cry out, Abba, Father. If you have the Holy Spirit, you may not physically feel Him, but you will feel His work. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, Jesus is calling us. If you knew who it was that has the Holy Spirit that can offer you living water, then come and ask. How we wish people would ask, how we wish you would ask, we wish our neighbors would ask, all our friends and family would ask. We can't force you, we can't force people to come to Jesus because people will run as fast as their fears. And we can't control the Spirit just as we can't control people. As the Spirit blows, He is not in our control. So we will continue to speak about Jesus, and we will continue to pray. And we invite you, as you're watching now, to come to Jesus. And we together as a church are inviting all people in the next few weeks to come to Share Life Sundays, but we're inviting the people that we're already praying for, so that the wind of God may blow and their spirit may be born again. Life, access, sight. This is how much we all need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to see. We need the Spirit to enter. We need the Spirit to live. And that is why Jesus came. So lift up your hearts, come in faith, and feel His love flowing through your heart.